Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we do a radio show called the Harshman Travel Radio Show. If you go to harshmantravel.com, that's their website, that's for Pam and Ron Harshman, you'll be able to see the cool things that they have going on there. And the way this whole thing got started is Pam Harshman was a customer of mine when she was building home-based businesses. And when we were building Building Fortunes Radio, I can't believe it was 2012, beginning part of 2013, I knew that I would need to have lots of really great guest hosts. And I knew that I said, you know, Pam would be great at this. So I called her up, told her what we were doing. And at that same time, she was kind of moving in a different direction. She said, Peter, we're not going to be doing the traditional home-based business stuff anymore. It was mostly her. Ron supported her. Ron's her husband. She said, we're going to become travel agents. And I said, you know, you're probably going to bring your head with you when you wherever you go. So that's the typical thing, right? So if you're good at what you do, you're probably going to be good at what you do somewhere else. And the reality is going to be is if you're going to be a travel agent, I know you're going to take the courses, the education, you're going to learn your trade, you're going to be there for support. You're going to do the same things you always did for building a home-based business. You'll probably do that for travel. And besides that, a lot of people in the home-based business arena, travel is part of our goals. So, maybe we can do some shows. So we started to do it, again, every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. That was the time that kind of fit both of our schedules the best, and we've been doing that ever since. So every once in a while, you know, holidays get in the way. We'll do a replay. Life gets in the way. Mother Nature gets in the way sometimes because they're out kind of like in the country. They might lose electricity or other things might happen. But we are here tonight on Building Fortunes Radio to go over whatever Pam and Ron are going to go over. And I know sometimes when I say life gets in the way, I know that Ron had just jumped on before we got started. He's got some life challenges going on in his family. And I know we have some environmental challenges going on in my house. We lost our air conditioner. So it's always something. So it's not so much that something's going to happen. It's going to be a matter of how you manage what's going to happen. And the most important thing is if life is happening when you're on your vacation, you need great people to be able to call, to be able to say, hey, this is what's going on. Can you help me out? That will know who you are, that will know what your plans are, all that sort of stuff to be able to help you in that situation. So that's why you want to use Harshman Travel. So I want you guys to have the same emotional attachment that I have towards these two individuals. We're going to let you hear about their background, and then we're going to go over whatever might be new and exploring the opportunity that Ron might have some stuff that he might have to deal with. We'll either extend that or cut it short, or he might be interrupted. So I'm just kind of handling some of those awkward moments in advance as we have life happen as we do our Building Fortunes Radio show. So I don't know if Pam is here. So Pam, if you are here, you can go first.
I'm here.
Yay.
Yay. I didn't get a chance earlier to let you know I was here. A little bit about my background. And, by the way, it's great to be here another Friday night. And much better this Friday night than last Friday night with no power, no air conditioning, no lights, no nothing. Flashlight doesn't bode well when it's sweltering out. So we're doing much better this week. And glad to be here. A little bit about my background is I started my working years as a 911 dispatcher up in the Pacific Northwest and worked at that for several years and slow but sure worked myself up into court administration. Absolutely loved my job and did it for many, many years. And then I met my husband and ended up moving across country down into sunny Florida. And once down here, I did not want to start anywhere at the bottom or middle of the ladder. And so I decided I was going to try to find some type of work that I could work primarily independently and hopefully from home. Ended up getting my realtor's license, and then I followed that with my broker's license and sold real estate in South Florida for several years. Just turned out not to be my niche, and I went and got my life and health insurance license, and I sold Medicare supplements to the senior population. Absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. I did not know what every day was going to bring. To me, it was probably the most important decision any senior has to make, what to do with their health care regarding, you know, for the rest of their life, basically, and giving them the information that they needed to make an intelligent decision. But when I would go out on these calls, I would never know what to expect, whether I ended up sitting with three or four couples or a ladies' tea party with, you know, cakes and cookies and the whole nine yards, or just a couple that was so confused, you know, they didn't know up from down. So it was a very rewarding job, and I really felt like I was doing something very positive for the community. And so that was a good thing. But at the same time, I was getting these carrots dangling in front of my face on my Facebook news feed about MLMs and home-based businesses. And as you alluded to earlier, I was a customer of yours on the PM marketing side, and I did dabble in some of those, and I had some winners, but I had a couple of losers in there too, but I did learn an awful lot, and that helped me develop websites and the whole nine yards, so it was a very good experience for me all the way around. And we became good friends, and we've stayed friends, and we've been doing this radio show for eons. So it's been a win-win situation all the way around, and we've loved it. But anyway, I was out on one of my calls one day, and a girlfriend called me and said, you know, had Ron and I ever thought about becoming travel agents? And that just really threw me for a loop, because it hadn't been even a week prior to that that Ron and I had sat down and we were just chit-chatting and throwing out there, you know, we were empty nester baby boomers. We had some disposable income. We basically were in control of our schedules for the most part. And so we were kind of throwing around our bucket list and where we wanted to go and prioritizing where we wanted to go first. So, you know, kind of making fun of it and stuff. So when she said that, I could not wait to get home and throw the idea out there to Ron. And we started doing research on the Internet and weighing the pros and cons and ultimately decided to move forward. Got all of the licensures and, well, first got all the training and education we could. Then we got all the licensures. And I have to say, in the long run, we've probably done more traveling than we would have done otherwise. And we have helped oodles of other people do lots of traveling themselves and stretch their travel dollars until the C word, COVID, hit. And that kind of put the quabash on all travel. But we are back up and running and looking forward to very, very busy seasons to come.
Excellent. Okay, good. And Ron, over to you.
All righty, Peter. Good to be here with you again. And as Pam said, this week is much better than last week in terms of weather. But my background is very different from hers. I spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved, obviously, in my own clinical practice, my own private practice, in clinical work, but I also chose to become very involved in the behind-the-scenes self-regulatory aspects of the profession. When I first started my training, a very good friend of mine, a mentor, suggested to me that it was an important thing to consider giving back to the profession and getting involved, and she felt that I had a lot to offer, and I was very pleased to take her advice, started at the Provincial Association and got involved there, sat on the board of directors, several executive committees, etc., and after a bit, got involved with the Canadian Psychological Association. I was very fortunate to be elected as the applied chair of the applied division of that association, sat on several ethics committees, various professional affairs committees, represented the Canadian Association at meetings with the sister association here in the States, learned an awful lot of information and things going on that most professionals, regardless of what profession they're in, never get to see. Most professionals join their professional association, pay their dues, attend their annual meetings, etc., and that's the extent. But when you get involved in the whole self-regulatory aspect, you sit on ethics boards, you see things being done that you never would have believed other professionals would try to do, and you really see the inner workings. So I felt very good about my involvement there, contributed a lot, was very, very honored at the end of my career, basically, to be elected as a lifetime honorary fellow of the Canadian Psychological Association. So I really felt good about what I was able to contribute and what I was able to accomplish during those years. When I did get into private practice, I pretty soon started specializing working with young couples, doing a lot of premarital counseling, a lot of marriage counseling, a lot of sexual counseling, and as a result of being involved with that subculture, you could call it, I ended up, unfortunately or fortunately, being involved in family court actions a lot and in divorce actions where fairly young and immature couples were part of the throwaway society. If it didn't work, they just stopped. So their marriage wasn't working in the way they wanted it to. So the first decision was to get a divorce, and unfortunately for many of these immature kids, they saw their children as being the last battleground where they could try to destroy their about-to-be ex-spouse. So divorce actions were very messy, and unfortunately, at the time that I started getting involved in that whole arena, there was pretty much a pre-drawn conclusion in the judiciary that if you had a young couple going through divorce and there were young children involved and any disputes over custody and access, the courts would almost always grant custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And although that worked out in many cases appropriately, daddy's working, mommy's at home, that kind of thing, we started seeing more and more cases, and too many cases, where that automatic decision was not only not a good one, but turned out to be a very bad and destructive one. And as a result of that, the judiciary, first the Canadian Supreme Court, but very quickly followed here in the States, the Supreme Court judiciary decided that going forward, any decisions made with respect to custody and access in divorce actions had to be based on the psychological best interests of the children involved, not just an automatic mommy gets custody, daddy gets visitation. And because there was no pre-described or proscribed way of measuring the psychological best interest, I was very fortunate to be involved at a time where when that decision was made by the courts, a number of fellow professionals, both clinical social workers and clinical psychologists, who were getting involved in these court cases got together, and we decided that it was really going to be important to come together and come up with some predetermined, very concrete and objective ways of evaluating and assessing the psychological best interests of the children involved, and not only evaluating and assessing the best interests, but also being able to go into court and present those, not as a hired gun of the attorney representing mommy or daddy, but basically of the court, and go in as a friend of the court and as a objective professional to provide the justices with concrete evidence as to what would be the most appropriate decisions for them to make in terms of both custody and access. And I was very, very fortunate to be involved at that time, very heavily involved at that time, and felt very, very good. It was very heavy work, very complicated work, and heavy, heavy duty. But I really felt good about the contribution I was able to make and really set the stage. First in the Canadian courts, I was in Canada at the time this happened, and I was one of the first psychologists to be appointed by the Supreme Court to be an expert witness in the custody and access area. But I then moved to Florida and began working with a psychiatrist in South Florida who really saw an opening for being able to introduce this whole concept in the South Florida courts. And I was very fortunate to be the first psychologist in both Dade and Broward County courts in South Florida to introduce the whole concept of custody evaluations and decisions being made based on the psychological best interest of the children involved in divorce actions. So it was very rewarding, and I felt very good about my involvement there, very challenging. But in any event, when Pam and I got together, we hadn't been together for that long when we decided to semi-retire. We moved from Southeast Florida over to Southwest Florida. As Pam said, she started getting involved with home-based businesses, multi-level marketing. We did start raising alpacas, and although I wasn't involved in the multi-level marketing with her, I was very supportive of her doing it. But when she came home and said she really wanted us to talk about the possibility of becoming professional travel consultants, it was an idea that really grabbed both of us. And as she said, we talked about it. We made the decision if we were going to do it, we would do it the right way. We would get all the training available and get the proper licensures. And in addition to that, we would also find those travel vendors that we felt comfortable enough both working with, representing, and promoting because of their approach to giving their clients the kind of value and value packages that we wanted to provide for our clients. It worked out extremely well, and it continues to. When COVID came along, as Pam indicated, it did put a big kibosh in everything. But you and I continue to look optimistically at what was going on. And in spite of how negative things were beginning to look, we continued to see the bright side, and we felt comfortable in predicting that travel would come back, and in particular cruising would come back bigger and better than ever before. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to continue to report that we were right on with our prognostications, and things continue to improve and grow, not only here in the States and North America, but I've got a number of things to talk about tonight that are worldwide. So after the break, we'll see some more good news.
Excellent. So we're going to take a little commercial break. You'll be able to hear this again if you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman, and we'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. Ron's going to go over the good news that's happening in the travel industry. So, Ron, take as much time as you want.
All righty, Peter. Thank you. Just a continuation of the problems that we personally faced last week. Hurricane Lee, I got this report just before we came on air. Hurricane Lee, currently Category 5 storm, maximum sustained winds of 160 miles per hour, and it continues to track westward toward the Caribbean. Additional strengthening is forecast. Fluctuations in intensity are likely over the next few days, but Lee is expected to remain a major hurricane throughout early next week. And although it's too early to know the exact track, there are several steering factors that could send it out to sea or bring it closer to mainland U.S., Bermuda, and other destinations. They are predicting that it could potentially wreak havoc on shoulder season travel in the Caribbean and southeastern United States in the coming days. And we are watching it as it moves to the north of the northern Leeward Islands, the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, this weekend and into early next week in the British and U.S. Virgin Islands, as well as Puerto Rico, Hispaniola, Bahamas, and Bermuda could see significant swells from Lee in the coming days, resulting in life-threatening surf and rip current conditions. So although it's too early to know whether they will snarl, the hurricane will snarl travel or just significantly impact the mainland U.S., airlines have yet to issue travel waivers, but the National Hurricane Center is advising travelers to always check with flight status, crew status, etc., when this kind of natural disaster is front and center. So just to let people know, we are well into hurricane season, and it's not looking like it's ending anytime soon. As we go around the world, interesting to see that the company that took over the Viking Cruises in mainland China has taken their 930-guest Viking Sea, and they are launching a new 8-day South China Sea tour round trip from Shenzhen with calls in Halong Bay, Da Nang, and Hong Kong. And their interesting report that just came out the other day said, while the popularity of outbound travel continues to rise, we hope to bring the cultural experience of cruise ships to new destinations and present it to guests, promoting the diversified recovery of outbound travel. At the same time, we will actively leverage the location advantage of Shenzhen's cruise home port, collaborate with tourism resources in the Hong Kong, Macau, Greater Bay Area, and promote regional tourism, cultural exchanges, and cooperation. Their other cruise products in the past are going to look a little bit different. They are going to start an 8-day itinerary, which is going to provide ample time ashore. She's working with overseas partners to provide rich onshore tourism and cultural experiences. So we see that as far away as mainland China, the cruise industry is continuing to work in a way to not only come back as a major force, but to really come back bigger and better than it's been before. The increasing number of cruise ships calling in Hong Kong has gotten them to increase even the regular bus service to cover the cruise terminal. They came out with a statement just the other day that in addition to regular bus routes, they are going to be adding additional ones operating from 7 in the morning till 8 at night, Monday to Friday. And these buses will go from the Conlon station from early morning to late night, and they will be stopping at the Children's Hospital and at the cruise terminal. So we again see, even in Hong Kong, major changes being made. We have had a number of reports, especially with the onset of COVID and the purposefully attempted destruction by CDC, to hear about cruise ships being, places to contract the disease, et cetera, and they tried to put kibosh on cruising. Interesting to note, and this was a report that just came out, Norwegian Bliss and Norwegian Sun became the third and fourth NCL cruise ships this year to score a perfect 100 during recent surprise health inspections. The Norwegian Pearl was the cruise line's first ship to score a perfect 100 in 2023 in March, and Norwegian Joy added its inspection in April. Apparently, twice a year, every cruise ship that sails from or visits U.S. ports receive surprise health inspections done by the CDC's Vessel Sanitation Program. And during this 6 to 8 hour inspection, everything from medical facilities to galleys, dining rooms, potable water systems are checked. And cruise ships are scored on a 100-point scale, and they must receive an 86 or higher to pass. And if they don't, the CDC issues a no-sail recommendation, and if the cruise line doesn't follow the no-sail recommendation, it turns very quickly into a no-sail order. So, so far in 2023, 23 cruise ships have now scored a perfect 100 during the health inspections, and that was just a very positive report that certainly counters what the CDC tried to present during the early COVID days. We have talked before about MSD really doing a lot to try to establish themselves as a major cruise line worldwide. They are in Europe, and they have made a tremendous investment in North America, and they are continuing to do good things. They just recently shared the details of the world's first net zero greenhouse gas emissions cruise that was operated in June by its newest ship, an LNG-powered Eurybia. And the four-day voyage from France to Denmark resulted in a saving of 43 tons of fuel, enabled the ship to perform 11% better than the vessel's digital twin, an ashore virtual ship that reproduced the optimum energy flow and mirrored the fuel utilization on board. This required, they were able to establish all the required heat for galleys, heating and ventilation systems, as well as production of hot water on board, and this was all recovered from the ship's engines, which eliminated the need to use the boilers during the voyage. They use a bio-LNG as fuel, and this is the most cost-effective and environmentally friendly method recognized under the European Union's Renewable Energy Directive. So they are very, very pleased. They proved that net zero GHG emissions cruising is possible today, well ahead of the 2050 target for the industry. So they have definitely taken the lead here, and it's nice to see them with that kind of an accomplishment. Oceania Cruises, one of the MCL subsidiaries, unveiled this week its inaugural season sailings for the newest ship, the Allura, which is set to launch summer of not 2024, but summer of 2025. The evidence of all of these new ships coming on and all of these new itineraries continues to be very, very impressive. And as I have mentioned many, many times on this show, not only for people who have experienced cruising before, but even for those people who are brand new to the cruise world, the opportunities to really explore and enjoy and experience fantastic adventures just continues to increase. Just to give a listing, I'm not going to go through the actual itineraries, but just to give you a flavor, they have a 17-day sailing from Rome to Athens, July of 2025, a 43-day crossing voyage from Rome to New York, August of 2025, 11 days New York to Montreal, October of 2025, 14-day holiday travel round trip Miami, December 21, 2025. And their top honcho made the comment, Allura will continue the evolution of the Oceania Cruises experience at their inception. Our ships were heralded as two of the most beautiful and perfect cruise ships ever built. Vista and now Allura carry forward this vision, building on and embodying the evolution of perfection. So those people who are really looking for top-notch experience, all three of the MCL brands are very, very highly recommended. Oceania continues to be the name brand for culinary experience, and now we can see the brand new itineraries that they are adding is just making it better and better. I realize I'm over time, so I will go quickly. The Port of Quebec announced that it is helping to celebrate Holland America Line's 150th anniversary. Holland America was the first cruise line to make Quebec City a key home port, and they linked New York and Boston with Quebec City and starts in Canada, New England season as early as May. This year, more than 30,000 passengers will dock in Quebec City on Holland America Line ships, making it one of the Port of Quebec's most important partners. And they go on to say that this important cruise port on the St. Lawrence River predicts a season with 140,000 passengers in 2023. And each day a maximum 15,000 passengers can dock at the port, and no more than four ships can be berthed at the same time. But the Port of Quebec is certainly doing what it can to become one of the major ports in North America. So as we can see, regardless of whether we're talking here in the States, Canada, Hong Kong, Italy, Europe, the Mediterranean, we are very, very happy and content to see the cruise line industry continuing to flourish and just do more and more for not only the cruise line passengers, but as I've said many, many times before, all of the different ports of call where they visit and the economies of so many different places and so many different people. So hope everybody has a very good week this week. We're starting into the holiday season. Next Friday night is the first night of the Jewish New Year. so we will be doing a replay for that week. But people are beginning to look at Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, lots and lots and lots and lots of great offers being made by various cruise lines for people to take advantage, make a small deposit, and lock in great rates. And if things turn up that you're not able to complete your cruise, your money is refunded 100%, so no risk at all. And if you are able to complete your cruise, you have a wonderful experience at a very, very good price.
And it makes a wonderful holiday gift as well.
Very true.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, good. So we're going to do a replay next week. We'll use this one, I suppose, for the replay for next week. So happy holidays for those people that celebrate those holidays. And thanks for being here. And Ron and Pam, as usual, thanks for being here on Building Fortunes Radio. Go check them out. Go to harshmantravel.com. Harshmantravel.com. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.